Randy Reinholz, the best director of community engagement and innovative programs from San Diego State University you could ever wish to connect with, and bringing Native American voices to the world via the Midweek Drive on Siren 107.3 FM.
Yay! Absolutely. Hey. No worries whatsoever. It's almost as though we've called a shaman from the Native Americans to help sort out all the problems of the show. And if Jean is actually listening to us at present, she may well be, who knows? And you're wondering, why not Jean? Well, I think we've managed to identify an alternate way of actually contacting Jean, which we will try, and hopefully the chap at the desk of the hotel she's currently staying at in Alaska will realise there might be somebody with that name staying at the hotel. You know, still, life continues. As I say, the Beatles never had it this difficult, but never mind, life continues. Randy, how is it now you're in San Diego and more good news happens with respect to Native Voices? I'll introduce you to the team. We have, of course, performance and drama graduate extraordinaire and, indeed, the treasurer behind the Lincolnshire Cobra Elite cheerleading squad. It's Cobra Elite?
Cobra Elite cheer.
Okay, is that exactly? That would be Holly Cox. We've got herbalist extraordinaire Hannah Sylvester.
Hello.
And I would have thought, Hannah, has there been in your studies any kind of connections with Native American herbs as well?
There are quite a few books on Native American herbs, not only that we use over here, but yeah.
Why is that then? Why won't we ship them over? You know, we talk rabbits and potatoes. Why not other herbs?
I don't know, actually. That's a good point.
I just thought this way forward. And, of course, we have Ed Wellman as well in the studio. So how's life with yourself, Randy?
It's very good, Alex. It's so nice to hear you, and hello to Hannah, Holly, and Ed.
Hello.
It's like a collection of herbs in the studio, isn't it, really? Hannah, Holly, and Ed. It's fantastic. It's great. Yeah. Little side order of mint. It's brilliant. So in terms of that, just share with us once again, because I suspect that, Holly, you might not be familiar with Native Voices and the fantastic dramatic work they actually do.
No.
Well, one or two listeners might sort of share that with you. So let's just break it down. Would you like to just set the sequence once again, Randy, and tell us how you came up with this fantastic Native Voices routine?
Native Voices. 20 years ago, people said, oh, it's a shame the Indians aren't in American theater. And the Indians said, well, you don't invite us. Then we don't have no plays. We have no plays because we have no actors. Well, we have no actors because we have no plays. So we began developing plays and actors and all the talent, and now everything is one with American theater, and Native Americans are included in the hodgepodge of what it is to be an American. We develop new plays. We've worked on about 180 plays over the course of 20 years. We've probably worked with, I think there are like 50 different nations that we've worked with. Of course, there are over 500 nations of Native American people in North America, or actually just in the continental United States. So it's a large group. It's not homogeneous. The idea that Native American people look the same or speak the same is all...
It's ludicrous as saying that they all look like Johnny Depp did in Tonto and the Lone Ranger. It's not going to happen.
Poor old Johnny Depp. He lost a fortune.
It's not good, is it? You know, that head... if only he hadn't worn that headdress. That's, I think, what sort of probably tipped it over the barrier, but never mind.
Yeah, I think it was good for a scene, not a movie.
Nice point. And very perceptive, I have to say, Randy. That's very good indeed. Hannah, any questions you'd like to put to Randy Reinholz about life, the universe, or anything else at this particular stage? I'm particularly interested. This question I'll be putting to Jean as well. Would you consider the Eskimos to be Native American Indians? Is that part of the reasons that Jean is sort of up there in various ways, or is that a case of no? It's ludicrous.
We absolutely consider our brothers in Alaska, brothers and sisters, part of the hodgepodge of what it means to be an indigenous person from North America. There are, I think, 11 language groups. So Eskimo is a somewhat dated term in that it refers to Nanook of the North and the idea that... Oh,
Robert Flaherty has a lot to answer for, doesn't he? You know, that documentary filmmaker. It wasn't even really me making it up, for goodness sakes, for part of it anyway.
Well, we all behave differently when we have a camera in our face, don't we?
That's very true. Penny Evans has actually asked us to plug Jurassic Park the Musical in 3D. I'll say that again. Yeah, I thought it would get that reaction, Randy. Jurassic Park, the musical in 3D, created and performed by the Colonel Mustard Theatre Group in Lincoln, Nebraska. They did an awesome X-Files musical, and Penny will actually be taking part in a British adaptation of Jurassic Park, the musical in 3D. She also sends us best wishes for hopes that we'll connect with Jean Bruce Scott. Well, we're going to try in a few seconds, but... Good question. Good answer. I thought that was very good, Hannah. That's, you're on the ball there. Marvellous. It's been That Kind of Show. Still to come, Anna Kerslake, founder and chief executive officer of AK Management, who's worked with Brenda Blethyn, Barry Humphrey, Stacey Keach, Val Kilmer, Isabella Rossellini, but sadly, not as yet, Jean Bruce Scott or Randy Reinholz. Huge omission in her CV there, I think. We need to sort of put that right fairly rapidly. Randy, of course, can always hit the mark, as we like to say in the acting profession, because he can immediately do one take to produce.
Hi, it's Randy Reinholz, co-founder of America's Native Voices at the Autry. You're listening to Alex Lefchuk and the team on the midweek drive for Siren FM.
And he did that, you know, after having to cope with the nutritional factors of Harlickson Hall. But never mind. It's always fantastic in every sense of the word, and I haven't even mentioned your driving skills, which hopefully are still as wonderful over in the States as well. Ed is still having therapy after that last journey, but never mind. Ed.
Favourite Mercedes driver.
It was fantastic.
Randy Reinholz.
Yes.
A1 northbound in 2 seconds. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the midweek drive, Randy?
What a great group of people, Ed. Thank you so much.
Not bad, are they? And can we look forward to doing this with you again, I would say, in around about a month's time?
That sounds like the right amount of time to me.
Well,
now, don't just, you know, there's no need for
yeah,
that.
Whoa! Exactly. You know, now we're going to try and reach Jean Bruce Scott, assuming that Randy has provided us with the right alternate name to actually connect with. So, assuming they actually understand and appreciate that. Cue Phil Collins. Katie Grimerson. Hello, Katie, is tuning in just before she goes off for her driving lesson. Fantastic. Well, obviously, let's hope your car behaves better than some of the studio equipment has been doing today. C'est la vie.
Californian sunshine, Native American joy, and the finest Airwolf helicopter pilot and Magnum PI naval officer ever. It's Jean Bruce Scott, now live on the midweek drive for Siren 107.3 FM.
Hurrah! And no, she doesn't work at the hotel. It's just a different line, Jean. I mean, welcome to the show, but honestly, sometimes we think that, you know, the chap who was answering the phone at the hotel reception didn't quite understand. Bless him. Thankfully, we did manage to find out what name we needed to refer to you as, and to get that connection going, thanks to Randy, who saved the day yet again. So, hurrah.
Hurrah. Oh, I'm sorry, you had to go through my sister's name, Roxanne.
Yes, exactly.
Of course,
it makes
sense
that was
now.
It. Okay.
Yeah. Don't worry about
it's all right. You're back with us, and that's the important, critical thing, and we're working through that. So, how's Alaska? Is it colder than California, or is that a ridiculous question to ask?
It's colder today. Yeah. It's a little rainy and misty today. It's kind of like Whitby.
I like that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so we've got some nice fog going on. No Dracula wandering around, but yeah. It's very similar.
Yeah, I mean, an Alaskan Dracula. It strikes me as a possibility. I mean, we were doing a feature with a dance troupe who were doing a dance version of Frankenstein. So maybe a Dracula based in Alaska. A baked Alaska. Sorry. never mind. It's been that kind of show. So share with us, why are you up there? I mean, is it partially just a case of just chilling out, no pun intended, or is it a case of you're just sort of finding out all the exciting things there? Or, as we've just said with Randy, looking to connect with a different sort of voice of Native America?
Well, my family lived in Alaska for quite some time, and my sister still lives up here. And my mom lives up here with her now, too. And so in addition to coming up and working at the Alaska Native Heritage Center, which is where I do the Alaska Native Playwrights Project, I also come up to visit my family. So this is a visit to my family, and at the same time I have 25 short plays, to read and score, getting ready to send our short list off to our national panel for the Short Play Festival.
You see, this
so
is,
it's a working vacation.
This is the joy of your good self, Jean, because, I mean, there you've just described something which most people would say, I can't believe multitasking to that extent, superb. I was going to comment on your Scottish background as well, thinking, well, Alaska could be just like Scotland, but maybe that's another line entirely. We'll stick with the Whitby analogy. That's good. Holly, any questions you want to
actually pitch? Where I am right now, Alex, driving this way, looks very much like the Highlands. So it looks like the Lochs and the Highlands. It's actually quite similar.
It all connects together. Holly, questions for yourself for Jean, because I think there's a way in which we can get that internationalisation between the Lincoln Cobra Elite cheerleading squad here for Native Voices, because I think, you know, Jean, you'd acknowledge that, you know, it might be something you can discuss with Randy about, let's get in on authentic Lincolnshire cheerleading squads to do the Native Voices shtick.
I don't think Native Americans did anything to do with cheerleading.
What,
they could have done something.
They may not have had pom-poms or indeed batons to twirl, but I'm sure Jean would put us right, and certainly Randy, in terms of the sort of cheerleading that could take place in that. But maybe it's just thinking outside the box. Anyway, any questions for Jean?
Within the plays that you're reading, have you found any? Are you reading for them kind of to see what they're like, or have people sent you like the plays and then you're selecting them?
Yes, so for this particular event, we put out a call for scripts nationwide, and this year we got in 25 submissions. The theme for this year's Short Play Festival is legal briefs, lawmakers and activists, which fits into the broader theme of the entire season, which is laws, lawmakers, lawyers and activists. And it's looking at how Native American tribal law and government influenced U.S. law and government, and then also how current laws are being made and changed by Native American activists and lawyers. So it's a big, big theme. We started to get scripts a couple of years ago that started to touch on these things, and so when the idea starts to really push against us, we try to figure out how to incorporate it into our upcoming seasons. So right now I'm reading short plays anywhere from 10 to 20 pages long. I have 25 of them, and I score them on strength of story, structure and execution, use of language, character development, theatricality, and how close they come to the theme that we're working with. On a scale from 1 to 5, we tally those all up. And then the top 10 or 12 we send to a national reading panel. In-house, I'm one of three scorers. So it's not just my score that's dictating what goes on the short list. I have two other readers who are also doing the same thing I'm doing. And later this afternoon, we'll have a conference call and come up with those 10 or 12 to send to the national panel. It's a big process festival.
I'm almost thinking this is the equivalent to a kind of American Idol for playwrights, really.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's just like that.
Yeah. It does sound like how prelim. Our competitions are scored. So
you see, there's a similarity. Yeah. Plays and the same scoring. With respect to cheerleading scores.
Are there any winners in there, you think, at all?
I do think. I have. There's about five that are really hanging on to the top slot as I continue to read through the plays. And the really nice thing about the winner of this particular event is there's a Vaughn Marie Atchley Excellence in Playwriting Award, which is named for Randy's grandmother, who was a wonderful storyteller, and it's a $1,000 cash prize. So one of these lucky writers is going to walk away with $1,000 and a public presentation of their play in Los Angeles in November.
Hey, listen, let's throw something else in, Jean. Let's say they also, if they wish, can have a transatlantic interview with your friendly neighborhood siren 107.3 FM in the Midreet Drive.
Ooh, yeah, yeah. That would be so wonderful.
Yeah, well,
yes.
There we are. You see, it's confidence has been fully restored now, so our telephone systems will be there as long as we don't tuck them in a hotel with an alternate name, which is going to be all bizarre.
Exactly.
Hannah, any other questions from yourself?
Well, I'm just wondering if any of these writings mention any details about Native American herbs or use of old medicines.
Good point, exactly.
Because
yes.
There's a lot of history there.
Yeah.
Well, One that I just read, not necessarily a myth, but in terms of traditional culture and ceremony, it's a group of three fellows, modern fellows, who have gone back to their original tribal lands in, they've gone back to Louisiana, and they were forced to move in the Trail of Tears to Oklahoma. They've gone back because a tribe there is building a casino on a sacred burial site, and the site itself has been blocked off all with chain link fence, so they can't get to it. They've asked for repatriation of any human remains, which would have to happen under American law. But in addition to that, they want to sing and do a ceremony for the souls that are interred there. And so they've been arrested before trying to do this and called a terrorist threat. They've been arrested as quote-unquote terrorists. So the scene that we have, the play that we have, is that they're out of jail. They've come back now, and they're going to try again to hold the ceremony mm-hmm. on the sacred land as this construction moves forward for a new casino.
I think given the legal briefs, it's definitely a line. Maybe, Hannah, you'd like to suggest a line where they could have another theme next year to deal with agriculture and farming and health and herbs and things.
Oh, I'd love that. Yeah. I'd love an idea.
Well, there we have it, you see. Bowl dance together with the competition. Fantastic. And Penny Evans has just sort of sent her Facebook update with the line, "Yay, you found Jean. She was never lost. She was there all the time." And we'll be heading off to...
Hello, Penny.
There we are. It's just joyousness is there. It's like reunification in all sorts of wonderful ways. Holly, those last two questions, please, for Jean Bruce-Scott, because we're running a little bit behind schedule now, but we'll get back to ourselves together. There you go.
Jean, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
I have, and I hope you have too.
We have. Thank you very much.
I feel as though the whole show has become... It means something now. You know, there's connotations coming through there. Next one.
And can we hope to hear from you in the near future?
Please, I would love to talk to you all again very
maybe
soon.
It may be a struggle to find you.
I think I don't know. We could always stay in a random hotel. Give us a number. We'll see if
fake
we can chase
name,
you.
Exactly. Turn into a game.
Exactly.
I'm always in a random hotel. That's easy to accomplish.
There you go.